Welcome to Her Bro, His Sis, a podcast hosted by sibling ministers discussing topics of faith and family.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Another month, another topic, another day to see your face, my sis. How's life treating you?
Very good. God is good. Man. The weather could be better
all the time,
but other than that, I'm grateful, very happy, very thankful. How about you?
Oh man, the sun is out for us as well. We've had like 2 months almost of rain, and so potholes is in full effect, and so I'm just ready for the sun to be out. So because people drive out here crazy, so I'm just ready for everything to be normalized again. But much needed for our area, so praise God in that respect.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I'm super excited about today. Again, we're just kind of continuing the topic of spiritual disciplines. And spiritual disciplines, you know, obviously are, you know, components of our faith that kind of complete or help in the process of sanctification. And so we've already had just two great topics, or three actually. But as we just kind of prepare and just kind of just continue this process, I'm stirred for this one because I just feel like it's widely, it's not talked about often. And that's the topic of fasting. Now I know you and I, and again, we know the Lord, the Bible talks about not boasting, but you and I fast regularly. and so just to put that disclaimer out there that we do it as a spiritual discipline. And so, as we come to you, just kind of, we're able to, just kind of talk about what we've recognized as benefits, but just the importance of what I believe the scripture states and what it speaks to. I even had the opportunity to speak to somebody this week about fasting, and wasn't something that they did regularly, but just to be able to talk through them, I recognize that it just wasn't something that was talked about, and so to them they didn't even really understand what the need was, because most people just pray. And I think you even alluded to this when we talked in January about you know, prayer and fasting, and you know, people pray but they never incorporate the fasting piece, and so why is that? And so I'm just excited just to get into this topic, because I think, you know, as we begin to encourage the listener, hopefully it encourages them to actually fast and take part of this wonderful, wonderful discipline. So what are kind of just your opening thoughts as we get into it?
So I'm not going to go all the way where I want to go, but the one thing that it's just really piqued my interest, which I did not know this when we had scheduled this, when we planned this, when we talked about this, when it was just like, even in preparation mode, like it didn't occur to me that this was happening during a season where people are fasting for the resurrection season. So I know that we're going to get into some things, but I have a lot of feelings about fasting, because I feel like, you know, because it is such a crucial and beneficial to the individual discipline, you know, we have gotten to a point as a body of believers and followers of the Lord that we want like an easy type of fasting situation. And that's not what God has ever outlined in the Word from the old to the new. And so to me, I'm just grateful that we're having this conversation so that we can kind of like really let people know like what fasting truly, truly is, what counts as actual sacrificial fasting, and what is just you just trying to do something in the name of like, I don't know, just
superficial,
right?
So, I know you want to go there.
So. I'm not going to go there, but you know how I feel. So I'm going to let you just take it there, and we'll go there.
Yeah, well, let's take it there. So, you know, what is fasting? You know, obviously, you know, we kind of alluded to it at the beginning. It's definitely something that I think out of all the spiritual disciplines, and we won't, you know, kind of give you the rundown of what we're going to go into this year. Stay tuned. But out of all of the ones that we will cover, I believe this is probably the most overlooked of the disciplines. Not to say it's the most immature, but definitely I think people probably don't have a lot of understanding, nor do they actually practice it. And, you know, in past times, it definitely was like an ancient gift. And in the modern vernacular, it's definitely something that has been twisted and distorted. And so I think that's where we definitely want to get to it. So when we talk about what is fasting, you know, we want to give a biblical definition, because, you know, we've gone to medical procedures and things like that, and they say, you know, go ahead and fast, you know what I'm saying, so that we can go ahead and do X, Y, and Z. that's not the same thing. And so, you know, fasting is natural deprivation for spiritual consecration.
Come on here.
That is fasting. It's Sunday, so I'm going to try not to preach. Because
I don't mind.
I'm sure y'all don't already got it.
Hey, this is a second service for me. Come on here.
Hey. But yeah, so I'll say that again. It's natural deprivation for spiritual consecration. So you're giving up of something naturally for a spiritual purpose. So it should have a component of spiritual nature. So you should be consecrating yourself. And you, for me, I even include a component of confession. We can get into some scriptures that kind of allude to that. But in fasting, we're typically fasting food, right? And so, you know, you're giving up something that your body is dependent on and setting your reliance upon God. And I know you kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, people like to fast other things, and we'll definitely get to that piece. But fasting should be a spiritual discipline, not a selfish diet. So when we talk about, you know, fasting and giving up food, you're not just saying, oh, I'm just giving up food for the sake of giving up food, but you're not really praying, or you're not really seeking the Lord. You're not really having it as a spiritual act of worship. And so when we talk about fasting, and that's why the medical procedure is so much differently, is because you should technically be consecrating your heart to the Lord as you're giving up in something. And so that's kind of the connection there. Just want to read a scripture real quick, and I'll kind of let you jump in here. This is Isaiah 58, one of the, I guess, more common passages when it refers to fasting. But I'll just read verses 1-6. It says, "Cry loudly, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways as a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God. They ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast like this which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself? Is it for bowing one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast which I choose?" And then this is obviously what the Lord says, "to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke." So some people elect to fast, you know, specific items, you know, like candy or fast food, things like that. They may, you know, fast a hobby or a pastime, you know, television or social media. And these options, I think, you know, albeit healthy and necessary, they're not recorded in scripture. And so when we fast excess, we're actually refraining from something that is not a necessity, but rather an indulgence that you can simply replace with something else. So like you alluded to earlier, it won't feel like a sacrifice, which is why it's often selected over food. Nobody wants to skip a meal, but that's the point. You need God to fast.
Exactly.
So where are you at just in terms of just kind of that passage, just kind of your heart on, you know, types of fasting?
So just to start, when you said it won't feel like a sacrifice, what a sacrifice is something that is, it is offering something precious, right? It's something that hurts you to offer up. One of the most crucial and famous sacrifices in the Word is when the Lord asked Abraham to sacrifice his son to him. And we saw that Abraham was willing to go through with it, but that was something that was very precious to Abraham to do. And what does the Word say? It was counted to him as righteousness. So God saw that his heart was fully intent and set to do what he asked him to give up, and that he was willing to go all the way to the death if that's what the Lord would have allowed him to do. But we can't say that we're sacrificing something that is easy for us. It's not a sacrifice. That's just like, you know, when certain churches ask you to make a sacrificial offering, right? A sacrificial offering, you've already paid your tithes, you've already given your offering, and in your mind, you literally don't have anything extra left. So your sacrifice would be, man, I do have like a few extra dollars for some coffee because I have a coffee account that I set over here every day. So that's the sacrifice, because that hurts you. It's something that you consider precious. Like, you literally feel like, I need to go to Starbucks every day of the week, so I can't give my Starbucks money to the church. But if you give that sacrificial offering, then that was something that you considered precious to you. So food, when we think about food, like when you had said, it's overlooked, fasting is overlooked. It's because No one wants to give up food for the Lord. No one
Yeah,
wants to give up meals
for
for
sure.
God, like, period. So food is something that we consider precious to us because we all enjoy eating. We all are dependent on food to survive. We need it for sustenance, we need it for strength, we need it for energy, but we also enjoy it for comfort and pleasure. So when we think about God, okay, should we not be relying on him for sustenance and strength and energy? Like, I'm one of those people that I'm not a person that does caffeine or energy drinks. I literally say, and I mean it, it's the Holy Spirit that energizes me every day. Like, I can't do the substances. And if other people think the substance gives them the gas to go, that's them. More power to you. But me personally, God is my energy. God is the one that is my driving force. And so, even when you think about comfort and pleasure, do I take more comfort in French fries and burgers and chips and candy than I do in the Lord, when the Lord and His Word is our utmost comforter? The Holy Ghost is our comforter. The pleasure of God, He says for us to delight in Him, and we're not delighting in Him, but we'd rather delight in a meal or several meals or gluttony or just whatever. So I think the mindset just needs to be that we shouldn't be miserably giving up something for God, even when we do decide to give up a meal for God. This is not a thing that we're trying to say, like, guys, you need to fast because, whatever, whatever, just do it. You should have a heart that wants to fast and understand why it benefits you to fast. But also, like, if God sacrificed the utmost for us, why can we not lay down food every now and then for him?
That's good. That's good. Yeah, and I, going back to, sacrificial, your body needs food, right? So the fact that your body needs that and you're giving that up, you're actually now transferring that dependence to the Lord, which is why it becomes a spiritual discipline, because
Exactly.
it's now like you said, when you're giving up, candy or TV or whatever the case is, you don't need that. You know what I'm saying? That's extra. So when you're actually giving up something that your body actually, like, you can't function without it for a long period of time, like, you need the Lord, you know what I'm saying, in that fast. And so that actually is the component that drives you back to the cross. Like you said about the energy, is like, it drives you back to the Lord because you need him in order to continue. When you get to, like, I mean, somebody can skip a meal. I mean, obviously, like I said, we do it for medical procedures and whatnot. We fast for, 4 to 6 hours, whatever the case is. Or they say, after dinner, like, don't eat from this time to this time, and then you next day you're good. But when you get to, like, day three and you fasting for real, you know what I mean? Like, your body is like, hey, bro, like, we used to you having 3 square meals, you know what I'm saying, the snacks, like, what's going on? So you need the Lord in that situation, because the temptation of, like, man, like, you need to eat something, or like, your stomach's growling, and no, when it normally growls, like, what are you doing? You go grab a Snickers, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you don't have that option. And so that's the point of fasting, is like, it's supposed to get your mind off of, okay, I need you, God, because I'm doing this for a specific purpose, not just like, hey, I just skipped and, we'll see what comes of it. So that is the whole point of that. And so that's what I love about, us understanding the point of a biblical fast, is that all these other extra things that they don't translate to that spiritual depth, because, again, you're just going to replace it with something else. If I can't eat candy, I'm going to eat ice cream, or I'm going to, I'll find some other indulgence that satisfies that. And you're not even technically giving up, which means you're no longer relying on the Lord when you give that up, if that
Yeah,
makes sense.
absolutely. And just like you said, really quick, like, when we talked about journaling as a spiritual discipline, there's people who do journal, but they're not doing it for spiritual purposes. They're just journaling as a habit, as enjoyment, just in general. That's just what they like to do. But fasting can be done by people, and is done by people right now without the spiritual component attached, not just for the medical thing, but for athletic purposes, for physique purposes. And actually, one of my questions for you, if I can interject a question, is what
Sure.
is your standpoint on, like, the popularity or the trend of, like, this whole, like, intermittent fasting type of thing, where it's more like we're talking about selfish diets? Like, it's people fast, but again, it's just like that purpose. Like, what is your purpose, the reasoning behind it? Because I always say that there's a lot of things, pretty much every single thing that we do in life, in the natural, we have the capacity to do in the spiritual, but we just choose not to add the spiritual layer on it. So, like, what is your, like, feelings or thoughts about just the whole trendiness of people being willing to fast for themselves, or just the popularity of where we are in life now that people do intermittent fasting or whatever kind, but not for the medical, it's even for physique and dietary type of stuff.
Sure. Wow. So I'd never even thought about it in that vein. I mean, obviously, I'm very familiar with intermittent fasting and the fact that a lot of people around me do it. And I knew obviously it was for secular reasons, but I never thought about it the way that you just posed, which is people are, they have the idea of fasting and they're willing to fast, but they're not willing to dedicate that to the Lord. So, that actually is a very deep, and obviously we've probably talked about it in different settings where it be, like prayer, like we don't pray or we don't do these things. Like, what is your heart behind it? Like, you're actually willing to fast because you want to lose weight. You know what I'm saying? So you have actually a end goal that you think is important. And I think it goes back to, the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart may be also. So your treasure is in looking good and being externally looking the part, but internally you're not willing to give up. So you're only fasting to have an outer appearance without allowing your heart to actually be where it needs to be. And so I think that that's actually a very profound thought is, as believers, if we're going to refer to believers in that sense, is are you willing to fast intermittently but not give anything to the Lord? And I think that then goes to your faith. It has to be tied to, do you trust the Lord that he will sustain you? Because, I even told some people, one time before, and it wasn't necessarily just a spiritual thing, but, about coffee, people are like, man, I can't give up coffee. I'm like, well, why? Oh, because I'm too tired, or I'll get this or I'll get that. I'm like, well, you can pray through that situation, number one. And number two, like me, I do drink energy drinks, but that's because I don't go to sleep, and that's my bad. You know what I'm saying? So I understand that I'm actually supplementing that for rest, which is necessary. You know what I mean? And so that, when we really break it down to the root cause of things, like, are we willing to actually be honest about the root? I think that's what it comes down to. Because again, when you're intermittent fasting, you could just be healthy. You know what I mean? Like, you could just diet if that be the case, but instead you're now having to deprive yourself because it's a dire situation in which you're giving up. But you actually don't even transfer that same energy when it comes to the Lord of like, because the Bible says in Matthew 4:4, I'm sorry, not Matthew 4:4. Let me scroll back here. Mark 9:29, it says, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer and fasting. So, we pray sometimes, but we actually don't get to the dire point of like, okay, maybe the Lord just doesn't want to give that to me. But if you're persistent, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Like, if you're willing to actually see that situation through, you probably should fast. You know what I mean? Because I've even asked people that have prayed through situations like, man, I'm not hearing from the Lord. And so I ask them, like, did you fast? Well, what's that going to do? Well, what's it not gonna do? If we're gonna be honest, that's scriptural. The Bible says these come by prayer and fasting. Like, are you willing to actually say, you know what, Lord, I desire an answer? We can go into some passages where people have fasted, and we will get there where they fasted simply because they knew they demanded an answer from the Lord. And so they fasted because they knew, God, I need you. I mean, we could pray, and sometimes we pray, and James, like, keep hitting James, but like, the Bible says that we pray, but then we don't pray in faith. When you fast, you got to have faith. Like, you can't fast and not have faith. You know what I'm saying? Like, fast, because again, then it's just a diet. But if you're actually fasting for real, like, you're wanting to meet God, you know what I mean? And so that's where, so I was even encouraging this person this week, and I said, it's not that fasting actually like solves the problem. Like, it doesn't mean that simply because you fast, you're going to get the answer, but you're touching heaven in such a way where you're like, God, I'm not looking at this answer anywhere but you. And because it's so dire and so desperate, I'm now consecrating myself to find you, because it's not enough for me to not focus on anything but you in the midst of me getting this answer. So it just has a different layer of consecration. Not that it doesn't force the answer, if you will. It doesn't force God's hand to say, okay, I guess I have to listen to him. But it's a discipline that you're willing to say, I'm going to turn my heart towards you in such a way that I don't typically do. And so I think when it comes to the intermittent fasting, back to your question, is that we're willing to do that because we see that the end goal, but we neglect that in our spiritual life. And I think that's a practice that if we're going to adopt these ideologies in our secular practices, that we need to understand the benefits of the spiritual disciplines, right? That there's fruit in these if we were willing to practice those as well.
That's awesome. So one of the things that you said from the Mark 9:29 verse, I really love that part because when it said these come by prayer and fasting, I always say that the value in having a practice of regular, making it a spiritual discipline of fasting, just however you in the Lord schedule that or what have you, is because when you really need to have God move on your behalf, like in that example, it was because they were trying to cast out devils that they couldn't do, right? Because they had not built themselves up in such a way that they were ready in that moment to be able to cast out a devil. So let's just use that example to say that if tomorrow I need to cast out a devil, right? If I'm using that same example right now, if tomorrow I go somewhere and I'm going to need to cast out a demon, I don't have time to fast tomorrow to be able to cast that out. I would have already needed to have lived a lifestyle that I am already regularly doing that to build myself up to where when the time comes, I would be able at that point to be able to pray, rebuke, and do what I need to do in the name of the Lord, right? So there are times that, like you're saying, yes, we just need to declare a fast and we need to see heaven move on our behalf. And God is faithful because he says, if you ask, I'm going to respond to you. And it's that ask and not just ask and just be like, okay, Lord, I asked you whatever and you didn't do it. It's the turning your heart toward God. Because you said turning of a heart in a way that I don't typically do. And that's what fasting really is because when you're saying, like, I'm going to declare this 3-day fast, you literally are saying, not only am I not eating food for these 3 days, I'm also turning my heart to the Lord in a way that I don't normally do on an every single day basis. So even if you are doing your prayer as you're supposed to do daily, if even if you are doing your reading of the Bible as you're supposed to do every day, that's when you start t depriving yourself of the other luxuries. So not just the food, but I'm also not watching sports all day long. I'm also not going to be indulging in recreational things all day long. If you have a family, yes, you can still spend time with your family. Yes, you can still do other things that are your duties as a human. But as far as like those indulgences, those selfish things, like you were saying, you need to now replace them with like more intense time of turning your heart to the Lord so that you can be open to hear communication from God and just really just show God, like, I am dedicating this period of time to you, period. Like, I don't know. What do you think about that part?
Yeah, and just kind of going back to that regularity, when we pray, and we talked about it a little bit in January, like we don't, as average believers, we don't typically pray the way we ought to. And not talking about frequency, but even just like how we pray, what we pray about. There's such a mundane approach to prayer that a lot of times, like, we're not praying in the will of God. We're just kind of praying for requests. We're not praying and listening. We're just kind of saying, okay, God, this is what I need. Or God, thank you that you blessed me. Like, we kind of translate our prayers to what we want, and it's not a spiritual discipline that actually points back to the Father all the time. And not to say that our prayers can't or don't at all, but a lot of times, if we were really honest, like, we can actually, like, compartmentalize our prayers and probably like, oh yep, I pray about that for sure. Oh yeah, I pray about that. And it's probably like in a very small window of things we're actually asking the Lord for. And even sometimes, unfortunately, scripted, right? Like when we go to meals, we're probably praying very similar every single time we pray over a meal, or every time we go to bed, every time we wake up. Like, they have certain kind of pockets of information that kind of associate with those prayers. Whereas fasting, like, again, it just kind of takes a different approach, where it's almost like you recognize the need of God. Whereas in prayer, we know we're going to a God, and we know that He can and will answer. But sometimes we connect that to us. Whereas in fasting, we're like, okay, God, it's all about you. You know what I'm saying? Like, even think about when Jesus fasted. Like, this was prior to the onset of his ministry, right? He fasted 40 days, and that was in preparation. And it would happen immediately after his fast. He was tempted. You know what I'm saying? So think about, like, us. Like, we naturally just go through our days, go through our days, go through our days. We'll pray over things that we know we're supposed to, so it becomes very ritualistic. We'll pray for when we feel like we need something, or we'll pray when God blessed us. We're not praying almost in the vein of, like, so fasting kind of almost like sets us back, and again, reorients our heart back to, like, wow, like, God, I needed you the whole time, but there's some things I forgot. And so, like I said, when you fast, and why fasting is such a benefit, at least in my life, and I'll just testify to my own life, I've always got an answer when I fasted. Now, again, I shared with this brother over the weekend, like, it wasn't necessarily the answer I asked for, but the Lord always showed up when I fasted. So let me just make sure that we get that understanding. Like, just because you pray for something doesn't mean the Lord's going to give it to you exactly how you
Yeah.
asked. But I always heard from the Lord every time I fasted.
Right.
And that is because, again, I understood the structure of fasting. Like, I start off repenting. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, so there's a process of not just like, hey, Lord, I need you. And because I need you, I'm going to skip a meal today because I need you. I need you to show up. Like, it's not just like, hey, God, hear me. And I'm going to quit something so that like you pause and come to Reedley. It's not about that.
Yeah.
It's like saying, Lord, what do I need to do? Because there's some things in me that I'm doing incorrect, and prayer didn't do it for me. So I need to get
Yeah.
into a better place where my heart is aligned differently. And I think, again, because prayer sometimes becomes a flippant response, and then we don't hear from the Lord, we're not willing to go even deeper. So we're just like, well, I guess I'll just try something else because God ain't listening. And back to your diet situation, it's like, well, you know, I try to eat healthy, I try to do this, these things don't work, so I guess I gotta get desperate. But the desperation actually drives you closer. It's not you finding something different. It's actually a biblical response to you feeling like you need the Lord to come through for you. So for me, I feel like if we're going to get to that place, are we willing to do things differently and deeper? Because if we're saying, God, I'm looking for you, what are some things that take place in fasting that don't necessarily take place in prayer? Like, I'm meditating, I'm reading scripture, I'm stopping things that I would naturally be dependent on. Like you said, I'm not watching sports, I'm not playing games on my phone. Like, there's more time spent looking for the Lord, not necessarily my answer, although that's a component of that. But there's such an appreciation for my relationship with God that takes place in fasting that sometimes we could pray for 5 seconds and then move on and be like, okay, Lord, like, you're gonna show up because that's you. But we don't persist
Yeah.
because we're not looking for God, we're looking for the results.
Okay, so you have just really, I know this is going all over the place, but this is so,
Oh,
so
but this
good.
ain't even on the notes, so
Yeah, I but that's
then
why I'm
we're way
like,
off.
this is totally the spirit and I'm loving this. So let me just, okay. You basically just talked about the process of fasting, and I'm curious about the activity of fasting. And so when you talked about repentance, like, I kind of just want you to give like a basic skeleton of like what fasting should look like for people, and then the activity of the fasting period. So like, if someone's gonna walk away from this episode and like decide they're gonna start fasting at some point for real, you know, what are things that they need to incorporate, whether it's a 1 day fast, a 3 day fast, whatever, like what should just at least be certain components? Because like I can attest to like what you're saying. Two things for me that fasting does every time faithfully, and it is not about getting the answer I want. Because you and I have done joint fasts together. We've had our list of things that we're seeking the Lord about. And one of those things that had been on my list for like 3 or 4 years that did not change. But for me, fasting resets me. Fasting will like basically prune me, because you know the word of God in John 15, he says that he prunes us so that we can continue to bear fruit. So it'll prune me, but then it also prepares me. So it will prepare me to go into a season of testing or trial, like you use that example of the Lord going into that desert period before his ministry. Or it will strengthen me to be able to go back into a situation that he's not going to change. But in order to reset my focus on him and his will, it's not my desire. So I would pray in during my fasting time, like, Lord, here is my situation that I want to change. But it has to be in your will, and it has to be what you want for me. And if you're not going to change this situation for me, I need you to do something in me to help me to go back to this, to stay here, to be faithful to you, to please you, all those things. So please talk a little bit about the process of fasting, just a little bit of skeleton, and then the activity so that people know like the Lord is not being honored, or your focus, like he's not seeing you know, himself being the focus if you are saying that this is a time of fasting, but then you're still kicking it and enjoying yourself. Like you used in that scripture,
Sure.
that verse flat out said in verse 58 and 6, it talked about, is this the fast I've chosen that you get to still do this, but then call this a fast that is acceptable to me?
Yeah. So if we're going to talk about process, I'm not going to give an opinion. I want people to leave here saying, well, how did you get that? And why do you do it that way? I'm going to give you a scripture
Yes.
and then connect my opinion to the
Yes.
scripture. And so I did write down a
Praise
process,
the Lord.
but I'm going to go to Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 through 13 and then 15 through 17. So it says, yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and relenting of evil. blow a trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing infants. Let the bridegroom come out of his room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. Let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your inheritance a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they among the people say, where is their God? And let me just say this quote real quick, and then I'll jump into the process. It says, fasting is not first offered to God that we might be paid back because of it. It is first given by God that we might benefit from it and that he might be glorified through it. And that is John Piper. So through that scripture in Joel, this is the process that I do. First of all, repent. Secondly, revere. So give respect or reverence to the Lord. Make my request and then reflect. So four R's. Repent, and that, you know, can go from, you know, like the Bible says, return to me or consecrate. So you're consecrating yourself, repenting, confessing, removing yourself from the equation, giving glory to God, showing awe for who he is, who it is that you're talking to, recognizing that he is our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be his name. Then thirdly, make your request. So it's not about just walking in and saying, hey, I just, Lord, I have this need. Like, please, Lord, just show up, just show up, just show up. And you're just repeating constantly, like, Lord, show up, I need you, I need you. Like, that's not that's not the structure of the fast. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, reflect or meditation in that regard. So that's kind of the flow that I take is a lot of times I have a list that I actually am coming because most people fast for very specific reasons, right? You can look in the different examples. There's always a reason as to why people decided, hey, I'm going to fast. But it doesn't start there. It's always a tearing of the heart first. And then, Lord, this is what we're asking for. So there's always a period of confession and reflection on my heart that comes before I actually even ask God for anything. And so usually the first day is just me just seeking the Lord in scripture, just meditating, just praying, just worshiping before doing anything else. So if I have a 3-day fast, my first day is just all worship. Because it's not about getting the answer. It's about me knowing that there's a person who will give the answer. I'm going to seek him first. Is the answer greater than the answer giver? No. And so if that's the case for me, then I need to make sure that my heart shows that in fasting. If I just came and just like, hey, Lord, I need you. And I'm just weeping and I'm just looking for this. Then I'm only going to go in with the agenda of like, God, I need something, not I need you. And so I'm going to look at you. So I think first and foremost, it's always worship. And just like Isaiah, when you actually worship, the Lord is able to then show you where you are actually, which allows you to truly consecrate yourself, truly humble yourself, because you can't come to the Lord without humility. So if you come to the Lord in pride, he's going to reveal that to you. If you come to the Lord in whatever the case is, that worship allows that situation. So again, if you're expecting to fast and expecting to hear from the Lord, you're going to have to tear yourself first. Because if you don't do that, it's just like you praying and not getting any answers. So if it doesn't have that component of like, God, like, I'm just coming to you. Like, I just want you. Like, I don't need to hear anything. I'm just spending this time with you. That has more benefit than getting the answer anyways. You know what I'm saying? And so I think fasting brings us back to that point of like, okay, you do realize you need me. Thank you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Now, what did you want? You know what I mean? And so I think it just has that component, if you're willing to do it properly, to recognize God is more important than your answer.
Can I interject the scripture? Because yes, literally what you just said is a scripture that I love, that Fred Hammond made a song back in the day, but it's 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive sin, and then will I heal your land. So we have this stuff all messed up because we think we can just come to the Lord without humbling ourselves and without seeking his face and without turning from our sin. We have to do all of those things, and then he will hear, then he will forgive, and then he will heal. So I think that's super important for what you said with that.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, like even just going back to Jesus in the temptation, like what was he able to do because of the fast? Like what happened to him directly after that? So think about, like, put ourselves in Jesus' shoes. Like you fasted for 40 days. hungry, right? Like I can't fast for 40 minutes and not be hungry. You know what I'm saying? Like, so just think about that component. So he's ultra hungry, and then he's tempted. Not only is he tempted with food, he's tempted with other pressures and things of life that are important to mankind. So when those things happened, what was he able to do? He was able to quote scripture.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen Snickers commercials where people are hungry and they get hangry. Jesus wasn't hangry. You know what I'm saying? Like he actually was hungry and holy. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Like, so he was able, because of his fast, to quote scripture, not get upset. Like us in a situation where we're hungry, we get grouchy, and we can justify that and say, "Oh, I'm grouchy because I'm hungry." Okay, like that means you get to be unsaved because you're hungry. Go eat then. Like, so you know what I'm saying? So again, like if fasting is what it's supposed to be, what did it do to your heart?
Yeah.
Because again, like if you're able to give yourself to the Lord and you've deprived yourself of something, it better count.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because like, if you're going to give yourself to that situation, like what is the Lord doing in you? Like, I think you mentioned beautifully, prune. Like, are you allowing the Lord to prune you? Because I believe, and that's one of my favorite passages, because it says he prunes you
Yeah.
so that you could bear more
Yeah.
fruit. So you're already bearing fruit, but when you fast, like you're actually being pruned so that you could bear more fruit, and you're recognizing the benefit of that fruit. But pruning
Yeah.
hurts. So when you can consecrate yourself to the Lord, you're actually able to suffer well.
Yeah.
So even if you don't get an answer, like you actually have matured because you know how to suffer
Yeah.
now because you gave yourself to God, not because you're just like, ah, well, this is what's supposed to happen. So woe is me. Like, don't put on the gloomy face. Like, recognize what it takes. Like, put yourself in the closet. Don't come out hungry and hangry and upset. Like, put yourself in the closet. You could be dependent on the Lord. Say, God, like, this is hard. Like, I'm feeling it right now. Like, I'm fatigued. I need you. But don't nobody else need to know that information. Let's take that to the
Come on
cross, take that to
now.
the Lord, and do what you need to do. You know what I'm
There you go.
saying? Don't come out and say, well, I've been fasting, so just
You better speak
forgive me
that
for how
scripture
I'm
of Matthew
about to come
6 and
off. You know
8, sir. Speak that scripture, okay?
what So again, and again, we recognize the benefit of this, that we don't want to get it twisted, because again, like we already struggle with prayer, which means that it's probably going to be more of a struggle to fast. But you have to understand the fruit of it. And when you're not feeling the Lord, like consecration is super important. And we're not talking about consecration as a discipline necessarily, but like fasting takes you back to that, where you're recognizing like, I'm undone. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna stop there on that piece, but
Okay.
go ahead.
I don't even know what I'm doing anymore because this is just this is so good. So one thing I guess I want to hit two things. The first thing I want to hit is when you talked about the gloomy face, and then just like the result of like you coming out of your fast, because it goes back to your original foundational scripture, Isaiah 58, because what it says there is basically this is the fast you choose, blah 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 blah. And then verse 8 says, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and healing shall spring up speedily. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. So essentially, when you come out of a successful fasting period, it's saying your light is going to break forth like the dawn. Your healing's going to come and godliness is going to lead you forward. So that's kind of like the result of that pruning period. It's almost like, when Moses came down from the mountain and he had that like glow about him, you'll have a spiritual glow about you. And it's not for other people to see you and like be like, oh my gosh, like, were you with the Lord? Like you said, it's just for you and the Lord to know that you were together. And as a result, it's going to happen because, like you said, your fruit is going to continue to be born. And that's just what happens through that period of you being with the Lord. I mean, how can you be with God and not reap any kind of fruit from that experience? Like, there's something that's going to be shown from you having spent time with God, dedicated, consecrated time with the Lord. And so, and then just those kind of tie together with that whole facial expression because, you don't want to be that person like, I said you were literally paraphrasing Matthew 6 and 16 with that scripture that when you fast, don't put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, because they neglect their appearance that they will be noticed by men when they're fasting. And truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. So essentially the Lord is saying, okay, if you want other people to see that you're fasting and you want to brag about your fasting, that is the reward that you get. Like, I will not give you anything else from heaven. So if you've asked for something from me, you got it from them because you wanted them to see that you were suffering. You wanted them to see that you were hungry and struggling through this fast. So It's just definitely one of those things that we want to do in secret. We want to do before the Lord. And as you mentioned earlier, like in our closet, in the secret place, because what does God say? When you do it secretly, I will reward you openly.
Yeah, and that just kind of takes me to like types of fast, because we talked earlier about the fact that people give up other things. Biblically speaking, there's only two things that have ever been fasted in the Bible: food and sex.
Okay.
Like, those are the only two things
Right.
I've ever been fasted.
Absolutely.
So, when you talk about like, oh, I'm going to give up, candy or TV or sports or whatever the case is, like, it kind of goes back to your earlier question, is how, like, those are things that you need, right? When you give up those, food and obviously refraining from sexual activity, but those are things that you actually need the Lord's dependence on, whereas other things you don't, because again, they're extra. Like, if you didn't have a TV, God bless you. I mean, like, you don't have a TV. But when you give up food, like, you will die without
Yeah.
that. So when you give up something that actually the Lord understands that you need, that desperation and that depend, like, you actually have to find God in order to be sustained by what actually would have kept you alive initially. You know what I mean? And so that, I think, becomes again like another test of faith and faithfulness to the Lord, of like, do you trust me enough that if I ask you to stop doing something that you need to do, that you'll trust that I'll take care of it?
Right.
Like, it goes to that, because again, like, we can pray and so, well, I prayed, okay, and maybe just the Lord just didn't want me to have it. But when you fast, like, are you actually willing to understand that, like, if it was something that was necessary or something that you felt was like genuinely like, okay, Lord, I want you to move on unsaved loved ones or whatever the case is, like, and you fast that situation, like, understand the smile that it puts on God's face to recognize that, like, hey, I'm actually stopping life to find you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas again, like, because again, like, I eat at least 3 times a day, right? So that means that when I'm fasting, that actually adds an extra layer of time that I'm actually willing to spend with God, whereas I would have been sitting at a table. So again, it takes you into another realm of like, and again, once you do that for a couple of days and you skip a few meals, it's like, okay, Lord, like, this is getting desperate. Like, not only do I need you to move in the answer, but now I need you to move in my body.
Yeah.
Like, that's a different layer of faith that, again, like, that pushes you into another realm of like, God, I trust you. And I'm thankful, because again, like, when I'm hungry, I'm hungry. Like, I've been places where like I'm shaking and I'm just like, man, I need to eat like right now.
Yeah.
And that was just from a fleshly perspective. But imagine like taking that to the cross. Like, I don't say like, God, I need you to show up because like I gotta end this fast tomorrow. Like, I've never done that. You know what I mean? So it gets to a place where it's like, okay, God, like, I can do this because I have you. And it allows you to reflect on scripture and look at Christ, not at the plate. So that, I think, is the beauty of being willing to say, like, I think you alluded to it, like, God is your all in all. So when he is your all, like, you actually can look at something that actually is important to life, naturally speaking, and actually say, okay, Lord, that actually is really not that important to me. Like, Bible says man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Like, so are you willing to say that God is the bread of life when you're not eating bread?
Amen.
Like, because that's genuinely the fast, right? If you're stopping eating, are you willing to now like replace that with the bread of life? Because if you're not, you're not fasting. You're just dieting. So you have to be able to find a place where you're actually spiritually connecting yourself. Otherwise, the fast is not going to work for you. Not only are you not going to feel it, but you ain't going to feel God either. So that, I think, is important. So just real quick, I'll just break down kind of just some types of fast. Because again, we've said that there's certain things you shouldn't fast, and I think that spiritually speaking, you should understand why we declare that. So Esther 4:16 was a 3-day fast, and she ate no food or drink. It says, "Go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maidens also will fast in the same way, and thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." So she gave up food and drink for 3 days. Daniel 10:2-3 was a 21-day fast, and it says, "In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed." So, no tasty food, no meat, and no wine. So, almost kind of like a gluten-free diet in a sense, in that respect. And I'm going to skip this one. I'll come back to it. And then Luke 4:1-2 was when Jesus fasted for 40 days and no food. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. So those are three examples of food, or food and drink. And then the last one is sex. And that's not a standard fast. But in this particular passage, 1 Corinthians 7:5, it says, stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because you're lack of self-control. So I'm not really going to get into this, but for the married folk, I'll just say, if you hold it out for any reason other than prayer, that's a sin. So I'll just leave it there. because obviously, because I mean, scripture obviously alludes to the fact that if you're doing that, obviously there's a temptation and obviously you don't want to cause your partner to sin. So typically the fast, just fasting regularly, is going to be food or food and water. But in those specific instances, it might be a joint husband and wife situation where you are fasting sexual relations for that particular purpose.
So I just want to kind of hit Lent again, just because I mentioned it earlier in the beginning. And, you know, I just think it's appropriate because when you're talking about the items of which we're fasting, this kind of came during my inquisitive research, because I had heard of Lent as early as I could remember younger, but I didn't really start noticing and like kind of even being curious to what people were doing until high school. So I would see people, because I would walk home from school sometimes and like Ash Wednesday or the week of like Ash Wednesday, I'd hear people like thinking about like students, they would be talking about what they're going to give up for Lent. And that was never our situation in our church, you know, history or background. Like we never had to do a Lent type of thing. So to hear these students talking about what they were giving up for Lent, and I was just kind of like, what are they talking about? Like, what are they doing? And most of the time it was like chocolate or, you know, playing the video game or some other kind of like superficial thing that I was just like, okay, like, why does this matter for church? So I didn't really do a whole lot of research back then, but later on in life, of course, because I am who I am, like I dug a little deeper into that. And so essentially Lent itself is a spring event that happens, and essentially it's the 40 days that they kind of like, it's a period of time between like what now is Ash Wednesday until what they consider Easter, which would be celebrating the resurrection of the Lord, which is, it originated as a time of, like you outlined, repentance and fasting. So that whole process is like essentially what was supposed to be repentance, revering the Lord, and reflecting on like what God did and the events leading up to his crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection. That was their original idea. And essentially, it started back in 325 AD, which was around the time that the Nicene Council had met. And initially, it only applied to new converts to the faith. And their purpose was, again, repentance, reflection before their baptisms, which were done on Easter. And so the 40 days varied by region, by church, but the one thing that was consistent was they were allowed to have one meal per day. So they were fasting, but they could only eat one time a day, right? So they had the one time a day restriction. It had to be after 3 p.m. There was no meat, no fish, no dairy. Then fast forward some 100 years, Pope Gregory comes along, and then he regularized the fast. And he basically said it's going to start on a Wednesday now, 46 days before Easter. And he implemented the ceremony of the ashes. And then at that point, their food fasting did not include Sundays. So before it was every day of the week during the whole 40 days. But then he said, okay, on Sundays, you guys can eat regular food, whatever. So basically, by the 800s, the fast structure started to relax by the 800s. Now, Pope Gregory said this in 590, between 590, 604, somewhere between there. By the 1400s, Christians started eating the one meal earlier in the day, and then they added another meal because they were hungry and they wanted to be sustained for their work day, right? To have enough strength to get through work. So then eventually the one meal restriction and the time was lifted. And then new practices came forth, like the idea of giving up some luxury or another need as a personal sacrifice for the period of Lent. So that's where the options now came in as, oh, well, you can just give up candy. You can just give up chocolate. You can just give up fatty foods. You can just give up whatever. So the giving up of anything or the giving something up became the centerpiece of Lent. So now Fast forward again, some denominations that celebrated it was voluntary. Other people, Lent was mandatory no matter what. But that's the point where this whole introduction of, well, we understand you're hungry, so let's just start bending the rules a little bit. None of this was biblically founded, though. So that's the issue I have with it all, because I could see if we were doing this and we were saying, like, the Lord is advising us to do this. But when you're trying to make the sacrifice easier for the sacrificers, then it's no longer a
It's not a
sacrifice.
sacrifice.
We're no longer fasting for real. We're just going through a ritual for a season. So that's the problem I have, because if it's self-selective, is it truly a sacrifice? Like,
That's good. Yeah, and I think, back to what we said at the beginning, like fasting, you need God to fast. So if you're not going to look at the Lord and you're going to say, well, I need this, then the point that you fasted to begin with wasn't didn't even have a spiritual context because you weren't looking to Christ to sustain you to begin with. You were just it was just a ritual and just something that, oh, this is what we do. So you didn't even have like what were you going into the fast to accomplish if that was the case? If you're going to start to do all these other things, well then you might as well just cancel it because if you feel the need to eat and fast, then you're just praying at that point or whatever it is that you're doing in that point in time. So yeah, that's definitely unfortunate, and I think, as we look at how fasting is kind of coming in as kind of this cool thing to do, like, oh, I really don't eat that much anyway, so I'll just kind of, intermittently eat or just eat at certain times. Definitely, I would caution that thinking about what you just said for believers to not fall into that trap of just saying, well, I'll just kind of eat during this window and fast outside of that and just call it a fast because I was already planning to eat at this time anyway, so since I'm not eating, I'll just call that a fast. If you're not dedicating yourself, just because you're not eating doesn't equal fast.
Right.
Again, that's how you chose to diet, but you can't just attach lack of eating. Well, I only eat one meal a day anyway, so breakfast and lunch, that's a fast. No, it's not. That's just what you chose to do, but that don't include the Lord. That was a personal decision. So definitely make sure that's something that we don't get twisted. And even just to add to that, as you talk about just kind of normalizing, and this is kind of the last that I wanted to say about fasting is that I don't hear a lot about fasting. I've been saved 20, 25 years, and I could probably count on one hand the times I've heard fasting preached. Like I've been in churches where they did corporate fasts on January 1st and all of that, but to actually have heard preaching or teaching on fasts, like very, very few. And I, again, been saved 25 years, and it's a shame that I've only heard it less than five times. Matthew chapter 6 is actually one of the most popular chapters in the Gospels, because it talks about a lot of things that are familiar to us in the body of Christ. So I'm just going to go through it really quick, and then just want to hear your heart on this as we kind of close out. But it's a very popular chapter. So in verses 1 through 4, it talks about giving. In verses 5 through 15, it talks about prayer. And verses 19 through 24, it talks about treasure. And verses 25 through 34, it talks about anxiety. So we've all heard passages and sermons on those four topics. However, I skipped verses 16 through 18, which talk about fasting. So people preach Matthew 6 all the time, and they're skipping three verses. Like, how is that such an important chapter, contextually speaking, but you omit the middle of it? I just want to hear what you have to say about that, because again, the when you, and I'm not gonna read the whole thing, but the first four words in Matthew 6:16 says, and when you fast, which means that there's not a biblical rhythm, but it clearly anticipates the expectancy for you to fast. You know what I'm saying? I just want to hear your heart on that. I don't know if you had a different experience on hearing fasting. Again, we started off the show talking about the fact that we know it's widely overlooked, but I just kind of want to hear your experience and what you have to say about that as we close.
I agree. I've been in church basically as long as you have been, and it's hardly ever talked about except for when it's mentioned. And even as a corporate fast, it's not like, y'all, we have to really go in for the Lord. It's just like I just said, it's give up this time frames. It's very loose and just kind of like, okay, if you want to, you can, or otherwise you can just pray with us at this time, whatever. The one thing I just want to say without like really going really too hardcore into this is just, I think it's interesting where it's situated in this sermon, in this chapter, right? So you talked about how in the beginning he talked about giving, and then after that he talked about prayer, and then the fasting is mentioned. But again, when you mention the other scripture, it says with prayer and fasting, right? So most of us just want to pray without the fast. And then continuing where your treasures and anxieties. I believe that if you prayed and fasted, then one, the fasting is going to enhance your prayer. Okay, number one. Number two, it's going to reveal where your heart is because it's talking about where the treasure of your heart is, right? And so he's basically encouraging you right there where to lay your treasures, and letting you know that where your treasures show up, that lets me know where your heart really is. And then lastly, if you have worries and cares and anxieties, all of these things would not be a thing if you were praying and fasting, because again, that communion with the Lord, you're focusing on His word, you're reminding yourself of what He has said, you're going back to this thing that says, I already know what you need before you ask me. Don't worry about these things, and you're reminding yourself that this is what he says, so I'm not going to worry. But guess what? I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God while I am fasting, while I am praying, that all these other things will be added unto you. So I just think where it's situated is super pivotal, because that just really, it kind of just addresses every other thing around it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good observation. Yeah. And again, there is a benefit to it. And with that being such a popular passage, you're neglecting a very key point of your faith if you choose to not apply that. So again, fasting's been something that's regular to me. And again, don't say that to be boastful, but because I do recognize that my heart needs to be drawn back to the Lord. And so I do it because I need God, not because I'm trying to look cool, not because I'm telling folk. Like, I'm not trying to tell people, but I, in this particular context, I tell you because I want you to understand that it is a discipline that actually has fruit if you're willing to do it in the vein that it's supposed to be. Yes, it's going to hurt. Yes, it's going to be a sacrifice. But you've already sacrificed everything to meet the Lord. I mean, like you're sacrificing flesh in general because you're dying to self so that you can be risen with Christ. So if you've already made that move, fasting is just another layer to that and actually brings you into a deeper intimacy with the Lord if that's what you desire as you grow in sanctification. So I would definitely encourage you, if it's not something that you're already practicing, if it's not a part of your regular regimen, again, there's no frequency or biblical rhythm that the Lord says you got to fast this amount. But I would definitely be considering that, and as the Lord stirs your heart to pray, or I'm sorry, to fast, please do so, because again, it is a discipline that I think the Bible talks about. There's fruit that is gained from that, and there's tons of examples about when people fast, why they fasted, and so maybe that can even kind of direct you to some reasons behind fasting. But I would say specifically, just to kind of give a practical recourse, is anything that you're seeking in terms of like heavy decisions. I remember when COVID first happened, we entered a fast because we knew it was going to change the dynamic of our family. The Lord didn't answer exactly the way that I was kind of preparing and wanting him to, but he showed up in so many different ways. And so COVID, that season of our life, was so fruitful because of us being willing to give it back to God and say, God, what do you want us to do in the season? So when you think about just direction and guidance and wisdom, when you're praying and you're just not seeking that, you're not getting that answer, I would encourage you to go into a fast and kind of deny yourself in something and see the Lord move on your behalf as you're willing to faithfully give up to see the Lord move on your behalf.
Amen. I have nothing to add. This has been so awesome. And I mean, I wasn't planning no spas, but I feel like I need to consult the Lord to go on one right now again. So this was super rich. So thank you so much just for everything that you shared with us to pour out, to encourage us, and to teach us about this awesome, awesome discipline, because it's absolutely necessary.
Absolutely. So, well, let me pray for us. Lord, we are just so grateful for your goodness, Lord, as we continue just the topic of disciplines. Lord, we pray that we don't neglect any of them, Father. We pray that we would give them all the same attention and respect and reverence as they are recorded in Scripture. Father, we don't come here to give our own opinions, Lord. This is founded in your truth. Lord, even you fasted. And so we want to be people that, as your word says, when you fast, and to be able to fast with the right motives, the right heart, recognizing that you get all the glory for everything that we do. We don't fast for specifically for our answers to be given, Lord, but we fast because we want to point our hearts back to you, Father. So I pray that, Lord, as for those that are beginning to fast, that they would take these lessons and these scriptures and meditate and truly get a solid structure and a plan for how to fast. For those that may already be fasting or maybe haven't fasted but have been saved for some time, Father, will you help them to develop a discipline of fasting that that suits them? And again, there's no regularity to it, Father, but I pray that their rhythms would be founded in truth. And Lord, that they would be willing to fast true sacrificial biblical fasting, not simply just things that tickle the fancy, Father. Help us, give us the strength. Lord, we call upon you because we know that this, we can't do this without you, Father. And so help us to turn our hearts to you in all that we say and do, whether it's prayer, fasting, meditation, journaling, whatever whatever we do, Lord, we want to do it all to your glory, and that you receive the ultimate praise for all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Her Bro, His Sis. Catch your favorite siblings each month as we talk to you, our family in Christ. Want to chat or just stay in the know? Catch us on Facebook and Instagram at Her Bro, His Sis.